Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Tracy, I love your topic today because we get to talk about me.
Now, wait. Are you sure? Because I don't usually like that to happen.
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you, me. Because if you're listening right now, and I know you are because you're listening, you, you are me. Everybody listening is me. So just say to yourself, it's my turn. Also, we also discuss pickles. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba, and we are hanging out with you today at the intersection between personal and business growth. This is Journey to There, the radio show. Found on iTunes, you're bated breath here. Found on iTunes at journeytothere.com. Also streaming on Empower Radio Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Tracy, you say we focus too much energy. What's so funny?
Because I'm thinking about that
the
riddle.
Pickles?
And yes, because you're saying it's my turn in pickles, and I just want to say to the universe, the world, that I'm not pregnant, and it's not my turn.
I didn't say pickles and ice cream.
No, you didn't, but for whatever reason, that's where my brain went. I was like, wow, it's my turn.
Are you,
pickles,
okay, and you're not pregnant, right?
I am not.
Okay,
but
now, you say we focus too much energy on that person over there and not enough energy on me, correct?
Yes and no, uh-huh. Because it can't ever be a simple answer. I'm saying that in the context of this, and that is when someone else, it's perceived by you that someone else is living your dream or have gotten something that you were aspiring for or working towards, and then you look up or look to your left or look to your right, and the person next to you or on the TV, all of a sudden they're getting awards or recognition.
That should have been me.
And you're going, wait.
That was supposed to be me.
What about me? When is my turn? When is my turn? I thought of that first. Why is not me?
Now, this can go as big as somebody getting a huge executive position or a spot in Hollywood, or somebody as little as just moving up the ladder in your job, that you wanted that job and your boss chose that person over there and not me.
Right. And so, and because I work with so many entrepreneurs, one of the things that I do come across quite frequently is that they have had this idea and they bring this idea to the table and they're frozen because they have identified or found out that somebody else is executing on that idea. And they're so deflated because they think, well, someone else is already doing it. Or worse, I thought of that first. I just didn't have the validation to act on it. And then now it's like the next big thing. And I can actually say from my own personal experience that has happened to me more than one time. And that is actually one of the reasons why I wanted to share on this topic, because in the last week or so, because this is almost always what happens with how we generate our topics, this particular subject has come across my path in several different ways. And it started to get me thinking about, when have I felt that way? And I specifically remember that when I very first started my business, I had this great idea.
Wait, which business?
Well, you're right. My first, well, okay, my consulting business.
Okay.
That is not an easy answer, because the first business I started, remember, is when I was 7, and it was called Jobs Incorporated, and I got my friends to work for me. So that just set the tone. But this particular business was on or around 2004, and I had this amazing idea for this book, and I was going to write it, and I had never written a book, and so I had this great idea, I was going to write it, and I didn't do it, and then I got involved with women entrepreneurship pretty quickly on when I started my business, and I went to an event in Atlanta, and there was a female there who was at a book signing who pretty much
had your book. She wrote your book.
Stole my book. Which clearly she didn't, because all ideas originate from another idea. And it clearly she had not been inside my brain, but I felt like she had. And I was I remember being so upset about it. And I also remember thinking, I'm bigger than this. Like, why is this troubling me so much. And
now, were you saying that to yourself at that time, or did it take you a little while for the anger and the?
I will say that it was like the devil and the angel on my shoulder, because the devil in me was saying, I wasn't really saying I hate her. Well, maybe it was. Well,
the reason why I'm asking is, did you walk up to her and kick her in the shins, or did you say, oh, hi, can you know?
Oh, no. I met her with such envy on the inside and such politeness okay. on the outside.
You handled it the right way.
I handled it very professionally, but inside I was dying. And so, but that was really a conflict of my typical personality, because I'm usually like the cheerleader and there's enough for everybody to go around and, you know, just go down the grocery store aisle and see how many different variations of diet bars or soft drinks there are. And know
or pickles.
Or pickles, and just know where there are spaces for you to have your niche.
Exactly.
But in this case, I will admit that it just got me under my skin. And it was because I was not angry at her, and I was not envious of her so much as that I was angry with myself.
This wasn't, and that's this, what this, I, she's not Oprah Winfrey, is she?
No. In fact, you know, quite honestly, I didn't keep track of her and her path, so I honestly can't say what it is that she's doing now. And when I did read her book, because it was the title that really freaked me out, but when I read her book, I realized exactly what I'm saying here as an example. Yes, she wrote a book about launching businesses and women entrepreneurs. However, she approached it from a very tactical and corporate methodology, whereas my approach is not so corporate and not right. filled with so much methodology. So we would have written two separate books anyway at that time, but I really paid attention to that for the first time in getting that in check, because what I realized is that energy was completely wasted on me being envious of her, and I needed to redirect it into, why didn't I write my book, right?
Right. No, so, I think so many people can relate to this right now.
Well, I think so. And the reason, so I'm saying so a lot because I'm just, my brain's going a million miles an hour. I've been hit with this many different times in the past 10 days or so. But one time that really affected me, and I saw, okay, you know, this is just isn't me or my client base or just a, you know, just a happenstance. I watched a video that was circulating on Facebook that was that Chelsea Handler. Are you familiar with Chelsea
Handler?
She had a very popular show on the E! Network.
E! News. Okay.
Yes.
Chelsea
Lately was her show. Chelsea Handler is her name.
Right.
And now she has a Netflix talk show. So she's definitely still in the circle of influence in that arena. So she released a video. It's very simple, black and white, her just talking, very authentic. And the basis of the video was saying that she was doing and working for 5 years so hard on getting signed by an agent to do stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a friend that had only been doing it for a year, and they were there was a big showcase, like in the entertainment industry, you go and you perform and there are agents in the audience, and it's called a showcase because you have this opportunity to get
noticed.
What is it? You get discovered. So she convinced her friend to go to this showcase in New York, and she was telling her, oh, you're good and you're so funny, and really, I mean, what could it hurt?
Just was this like because she didn't want to do it alone?
I don't think so. I mean, the tone of the video was that she was really sort of like, yay, girl. Like,
okay.
I know you've only been doing this for a year, but just go and try it out and just, you know, if you stumble, great. If you don't, whatever. And so the next day, she did not get a call from an agent, and her friend did.
Oh.
Yes.
Do we know who her friend is?
She did not mention her, so okay. I do not know. But I can only imagine that it's probably somebody that is well known.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for her to say Tina Fey, because that's another one of my, what about me? That was supposed to be my turn. I always wanted to be.
Tina Fey is great.
I know.
Very
I love
genuine.
Her. I love her. And so that being said, the whole tone of the video was about the fact that it really crushed her and she was so upset about it. But the lesson that she learned about it was that she was going to tell one person about how envious and angry and how, like you said, you want to punch her in the face. Right. And then she was going to let it go because, in her words, that everybody has something. Nobody has your something. And what you have is different. And what you have is going to come to the market in its own unique way. That's the Tracy add-on to
it. Very interesting you say that, because I've been in the voiceover industry for many years. And one thing I learned from this, he was a very much older guy at the time. He was in his 70s at the time. I was in my early 20s. And I said, you know, he said, well, you know, go to auditions and this and that. And I said, but the competition that's out there. And he looked at me and he said, Russ, there is no competition. And I'm like, what do you mean? There's like 15, 20, 25 people that I'm competing. He goes, Russ, there is no competition. There's nobody that has your signature voice. Nobody, unless they're impersonating you. Nobody has the voice print, like a fingerprint, that you have. There is no competition in this business. And that stayed with me for years, for decades.
And served you so well.
Very well.
Because A, it was a factual statement. And B, you are one of the most talented voiceover talents in the world.
Oh, stop
it. So I'm glad that he encouraged you. And that also goes to show that there, in especially in a competitive industry, which in most terms these days in our economic climate, every business is a competitive industry.
Yep.
So one thing that I always recommend and say is that, because this actually has to impact late bloomers a lot sometimes, because they're somewhat threatened by the fact that there are younger people coming up in their field. But here's the thing, whether you're young, middle-aged, older, even kids are starting businesses these days.
Yeah.
So the fact of the matter is, there is always going to be somebody coming in. There is always going to be somebody going up. But there will always be a open door and a space on the shelf or a commercial on the radio that you can voice, or whatever it is that you do that's unique to you, there will be a space for you, because just like you said, you're going to put your own unique fingerprint on it.
Right. There will always be another this, that, and the other thing, but there will never be another me. And that's what everybody needs to say to themselves.
Oh, wait. There will never be.
There will never be another me.
Oh, that's our new
there's
t-shirt.
There's your t-shirt.
There's my t-shirt. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait for this collection to debut. However, if someone else makes all of our t-shirts.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to be mad at you. I'm going to be mad at me because I didn't start that 15th business of mine.
Well, then get on it, girl.
And, you know, that is really the bottom line of a lot of people's paralysis. And it's not limited to just starting a business. It is limited to so many facets of our life. Like when you started the show, you mentioned moving up in the corporate ladder and the idea that somebody might get promoted over you, even though that you have a tremendous broader skill set or a nicer personality or all of these things that in perceivably would be what would get you higher in the corporate ladder. But then there's this weasel that works in the cubicle
right
next to you, and all they do is provide intel to their boss.
Right. That could
and all
be,
of a
yeah
sudden they're running the company.
But then again, that's not the boss that you really want to move up with, because
exactly
if all they're looking for is the brown nose and weasel, then you're doing fine, and then go off on your own path eventually.
Right. So 2 points from that, which you are completely accurate, is that it's probably not a fit for you anyway. And utilize that platform to learn as much as you can about that business and be as good as you can be. And then look for a more appropriate company where you're a better fit and they will appreciate your integrity, because you never want to compromise your integrity for the sake of a promotion. There's a phrase that I've often used in when I've been managing employees, running companies, or operating my own business, and that is, you only get one reputation and you only get one chance to ruin. I mean,
right,
it only takes one chance to ruin the reputation.
Right.
You only get one. So you can make decisions that go against the grain if it is preserving your integrity and keeping your professional reputation intact. And that could be at the loss of a potential client. It could be the loss of a position in a company. It could even be losing a relationship because you do not want to align your value set, your integrity, your perceptions of what you view as to be moral right or wrong or right or left. Because once you compromise that, your professional reputation is compromised. And you only get one.
I like how you brought in the personal relationship thing, because that is what this show is all about. It's the intersection between personal and business growth. And a lot of people just don't realize how much that intertwines. Your person, your personality, your me, how that interacts with your professional life. People don't get. I'm surprised it took this long for a show like this to get on the air.
Well, thank goodness that this
it's us.
One got to the market first. But I will tell you, so since you brought that up, full transparency on the Tracy side.
Here we go.
Is that
luggage, baggage.
Baggage here. I'm bringing it to the mic. So here's what happened with me. So I started working on this concept. I've operated in this concept for 25 plus years in my professional career. I just wasn't able to fine tune a way to succinctly say it. And it was about a year ago that I really started formulating this whole concept around personal and business growth and how you can't really have one without the other and how much they intersect. So in creating this brand and talking through what this brand looked like and how it was going to be executed to the world, that's when I came up with the name Journey to There, because it's really not a destination. Right. It's always a journey. And I was so excited about it. I could not believe the domain was available, because that's what I always do first for me and for my clients. If the domain real estate is there, then you're on to something.
Right.
So it was there. Everything was great. So in that, from that window.
Now, when you say domain, I just want everybody to understand it's
the .com.
JourneyToThere.com.
Right. And I call that brand real estate. That's what I call it.
That's what it is.
That is what it is. And so fast forward, I had secured the domain. I was working on the production of the show and getting the book started. And everywhere I turned, I saw the word journey. I saw Martha Beck send out a newsletter, and it was all about the journey. And then I would see it on Facebook, these different Facebook groups about journey to your core, journey to your heart, journey to your bathroom. I don't know, but everybody was on a freaking journey. And then I called my person does for me what I do for my clients. And I was kind of unsettled. Now, I wasn't in any way freaked out like I was 20 years ago, but I was a little unsettled because I was like, dang, have I missed the trend? Like, is this such an overused popular word now that I'm not even going to be able to claim my stake in the marketplace? And her response was just about exactly what you said. And that is, people may be using the word journey, but they're not going to be talking about your journey.
Right.
And we both know, and anybody who's listening, I know you're there driving your car, probably about to wreck, that my journey is definitely unique. So anyway, it happens. It happens to people even when they're trying for it not to happen. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this forward. And when I saw Chelsea Handler's video, I was like, she is so spot on. And it's something that we hadn't spent any time talking about. We talked around it, but not necessarily talked through it. So then I started thinking about other ways that this shows up in our world, in our business, and in our life. And I started looking at, okay, what's the flip side of being envious of someone getting ahead of you, or getting the press contract, or getting the book deal, or getting the movie deal, or getting the SVP job over the VP job,
right.
You know, whatever it is. I started thinking about, well, that's not always the case, in that you can feel also uncomfortable and not so much envious, but standing in your own truth about the fact that it's your choice that you don't want to work that hard. Because see, that's almost the other flip too, because it's like you're this uncomfortableness in the way that you start to feel about yourself, it may not be envy, but it can also be a source of feeling like you have to justify or rationalize, or just standing in an uncomfortable situation when you've made a decision to leave corporate America, you've made a decision to you know, do something that requires a lot less of motivation to get to the top of the heap. And they're looking at you like, what's wrong with you? Like, you're 40. Like, why? You've right. got like these great next 10 years to go up the ladder. Why aren't you driving like I am? And that takes some serious confidence in those types of situations. And I'm sure you've probably experienced that in your world.
Big time, because, you know, me, when I was the radio personality, I was like, I was going to go big. I was going to go New York, LA. But then I was like, and I could have been there. I wouldn't be surprised if I was there. However, I had some personal things where, you know what? I don't want to move every year and a half. I don't want to, you know, live in all these small towns first and work my way this, that, and the other thing. I want to be happy in my own space. I want to live in these places. I will find work in these places. And that held me back. But the payoff was, I've always been happy with my now. I've always been happy with where I was at. So it was a trade-off. And yes, I could have been, a big, huge radio superstar or whatever the case may be. But my path took me here. Look where we are now.
And I wouldn't have it any other way.
Nope. Nope, me neither.
I will say, though, that there is a level of almost like confidence in, like, you almost, what I've seen and I have experienced myself initially when I very first started my business, is this whole like fake it till you make it, because you're really going against the grain in some cases, and the grain doesn't like it when you go against the grain, because then the grain starts questioning why they're exactly. working so hard. And it took me a while to realize that what was happening was not that they were judging me, is that they were judging themselves against my choices. And when I could embrace that, I realized, okay, you know what? This really isn't even about me anyway. So why am I taking it so personally? And that would give me, then I didn't have to fake it anymore. Then I was just like, no, look, like, I'm just not a check the box kind of girl. I'm the kind of girl that just makes things happen in the way that is aligned with my integrity, my values, and my motivation. Because the reality is, I chose to go in straight out of college. My very first job was a completely and totally commission-based ad sales mm-hmm. during the Persian Gulf War, yeah. which nobody was getting any jobs, and nobody was crazy enough to think that if you're going to get paid $100 a week for a gas allowance that you could pay your bills. But I did, and the reason I did was because I didn't want anybody to tell me how much I could make. Like, I didn't want to be locked into right. a salary of X amount. Even if it wasn't the money that a salary might have paid, I wanted to have the idea that I could exceed, and my salary would be determined and directly proportional to the amount of work that I did.
You don't want a ceiling.
I do not ever want a ceiling. And that was pretty cutting edge for 1990.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
just going to tell you.
Oh, yeah.
I remember my boyfriend's sister, the summer before my job started, we were on his family beach vacation. And she was, you know, everyone asked, oh, what are you going to do after you get out of school? And I told her what I just said. And she was like, looked horrified and stricken. And she was just like, I could never do that. Aren't you scared? And the reality is, it never crossed my mind to be scared. So I knew I was in the right place.
Well, it's a good thing a bunch of people didn't tell you you should be scared, because that could have gotten you scared.
Yeah, then I could have actually, exactly. That energy and that judgment and that was her fear. That was her story. That was her path. There was nothing wrong with that. But it just wasn't my path. And if I had really internalized that instead of putting up my own boundary, then yes, I could have been deterred, and I could not be talking about all these wonderful clients and wonderful life experiences that I've had since 1990.
Okay,
now I threw out the date.
you've got me intrigued, and okay. When we come back, we'll talk about Tracy's takeaways. But I also teased pickles.
Oh yes,
we've got to quickly talk about the pickles, and we'll do that when we come back.
Is the only thing keeping you from launching your podcast not knowing how? Let our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters relieve the overwhelm of launching, managing, and growing your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. Contact us at produceyourpodcast.com for a free 15-minute consultation. produceyourpodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to There.
Okay, we're back. It's Journey to There. Tracy DeForge along with me, Russ Reba, and we have some pickles to discuss.
We do, and we've kept you waiting long enough.
You've kept me waiting. I have no idea where this is going.
I know. I liked my surprises. So I have a really close friend that I've known since college, and he and his wife started a pickle business in the time he was formerly a contractor, and prior to 08, he was doing extremely well. And like a lot of people in the world in 08, their businesses didn't survive going through that chaotic time. And so he had always made pickles for family and friends as gifts. So
this wasn't his business that went down the tubes during the bust.
No, he was a contractor.
Oh, that's right.
He had no business. So the only other thing he was doing was making pickles for his friends and family as gifts. And so his wife, who's extremely industrious and has a tremendous amount of positive motivation, she said, let's do this pickle business. And they did. And it's worked out great. And it's in a lot of grocery stores, a lot of it's like a farm to table type bars and restaurants to use their pickles and Bloody Marys. I mean, it's really gotten a lot of traction.
Cool.
And I happened to run into them a couple of weeks ago in a state that neither one of us live in. So that was the irony of it all. And we were, my husband and I were eating lunch and they joined us. And so you get the question like, oh, so are you trying to get into big box like Williams and Sonoma? Here's the thing that they answered, and I loved it so much, is that, you know, we've turned down Williams and Sonoma because we don't want to have to take our business to the next level of what it's going to take to produce, manufacture, and distribute to the level that they would require, and that all that larger corporations with multiple locations would require. We want to keep our business at the level that it is because we have three kids and it's very manageable, and this is what I loved, it's a family-owned business. We want to keep it family-owned.
They didn't want to go all corporate.
They didn't, and they had zero apology for it.
And I can respect that. Now they're still in a position where the pickle business makes them a comfortable income that they don't need to let things get out of hand and never be home for the kids and not be at the kids' shows, talent shows, and all that.
Too,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Because it's
like
a husband and wife run business. So, and this actually is a great transition into our takeaways, because the flip side of that story.
Well, wait, what's the name of the pickle company? We got to give them a little love.
I kind of don't want the other stores not to know that they don't want to be in them, because I don't want to ruin a chance for them. But I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
So if you're really super curious, you can find it on the show notes.
I'm craving pickles right now. I want to make sure I eat the right one.
Right. And but how this transitions into a takeaway is, we have talked a lot about the energy around this whole idea of minimizing someone else's success to make yourself look better. However, in your own mind, because you only look better in your own mind. You look ridiculous.
Not in the mirror.
To everyone else. Right. And the whole idea that feelings are real, but actions are really real, so you don't act on them. Well, another side story to this pickle company is that they had gotten an offer to go into a regional grocery store chain, and that was something that was within their level of productivity that they were very much excited about. And when they went to place the order with their manufacturer also happened to produce another product that was very similar to the one that they were pitching for the grocery stores.
Right.
And the other product, they were so threatened that they called the manufacturer and said, we're going to pull our business if you continue to make their inventory. And
really?
That's just so, I was just like, it caught my breath when I heard that. It was just so, I mean, they all knew that they were, this one manufacturer was making each other's product that was so similar.
Mm-hmm.
They had all agreed on the front end. This entire triangle of people had already agreed that that was an okay thing to do. But when they started getting more shelf space and started making a bigger impact, then the competitor just yanked it and said, I'm going to pull my business if you keep working with them. And so, you know, it's like, yeah, so you might feel threatened, but don't act on it, because that's that whole thing of like, you never know, karma, burning a bridge.
Like, it shows your real colors is what it does.
It does. And it's just like, look, like they have the same product going into a similar market, but their products are totally different and totally unique. So I was shocked by that. And it really delayed them, actually, because then they had to find another manufacturer, but they'll still get the negotiation and still get the opportunity. But it's just that they got tripped up like that for no ethical reason, really.
Oh, that's sad. So
yeah, feelings are real, but actions are very real.
Yep.
So don't undermine someone else's success just because you feel threatened. And also, this whole idea of using this particular energy of it's my turn as a motivator is
I love this one. I love this takeaway. Use it as a motivator.
It is. Like, use this energy as a motivator. And the first way to do that, because I'm always about making the suggestion, but also telling you how, like, channel that energy into doing what will help you get to the next level of your business or execute your idea. But the first part of that, the key to the success in that, is first you have to pause for a moment and reflect on why you didn't take the chance. Why didn't you apply for the job? Why didn't you start writing the book? Why didn't you get picked by the boss?
Like, right. It's not that. It's not that person's fault you didn't get the job. Look into yourself and fix it.
And even though we used an example of, well, the weasel next door gave the intel to the boss, that's not always going to be your situation.
No.
That's called being a victim. And being a victim is not going to get you that corner office. So it's really about, so, okay, like, what was in them that they spotted that I could emulate? What's going on with me? Am I on social networks too much while I'm at work? Am I painting my nails at the desk? Am I not picking up that phone that weighs 1,000 pounds to make calls for prospects so my business can grow, and they got the big contract? I mean, there's just all kinds of reasons that if you choose to see your part in it, then you will have the opportunity to do things differently next time. So that's my point that I hope everyone takes away from this to some capacity in whatever area of their life that they need to kick it up a notch.
Hey, I told you this show was going to be all about me, right?
Actually, it still ended up being all about me.
Got to share a comment with you. We had the episode. It was called You Are Responsible. Scott from Fort Worth says this. He says, Tracy, things are better when you are there, wherever there happens to be. That's a gift not everyone has. Your energy really is contagious. And in that episode, we talked about Hurricane Tracy with your energy in a positive way. Hey, if you missed that episode or any of our past shows, for that matter, grab the archives at journeytothere.com or subscribe on iTunes. We also welcome your comments. Just click the contact link at journeytothere.com. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba, and we'll be back for our next inspiring episode.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.